Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Well, thanks again for tuning in. We've got a special treat for you today. And that is Pastor Cindy Thomas. She's here. She got off work today. Yes, she's working. But she stopped by today to give us a very great Bible lesson. So and I'm going to get even with her later about the sound effects. So, yeah, be listening for those. So, Cindy, why don't you come on up here? I'll turn it over to you. Stand right here, and that'll be perfect.
Well, good morning, everybody. Almost afternoon. It's so strange being here without all of you here, but I have Steve. I think he's going to give me a really hard time.
Right.
So anyway, I thought this morning about what could possibly go wrong. We've seen a lot of things go wrong lately in our lives and things that are strange to us, things we're not used to. But what could possibly go wrong? If we look throughout history, we can see a whole lot of things that could go wrong. I have a couple of pictures. I don't know how well you're going to be able to see them. But here are some pictures of some things just waiting to go wrong. The first one is a couple of guys needing to paint the top of the stairwell, and they kind of have their ladder over the top of it, and it's not a good situation to be in, and they could definitely fall at any moment. So that is something that could possibly go wrong. I have a picture of a young man who, for some reason, thought it would be a good idea to stick his head in the mouth of an alligator. And there's a whole lot that could go wrong there as well. We also have, I think this is a lady, it's hard for me to tell. I would like to blame this on the men and say these are all men, but I think this is a woman who has a little situation where she is so wanting to clean this window that she's standing on another window that could not possibly hold her weight for very long. So that's an accident waiting to happen. And then I don't know what, on the next picture, these two gentlemen were thinking that this would be a good exercise for them to have all of this weight and to be on one of those balance balls. That just doesn't seem very smart to me. But there are So there are some situations in the Bible, too, where you look at it and you think, what were they thinking? You know, there's just a lot of things. We're going to start with Abram, because Abram, when you think of him, you think of a man of faith. This is before his name was changed to Abraham. It is still Abram at this point. But Scripture says, and Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. So that's a good thing. It's always a good thing to believe God. So point one is believe God. You can never go wrong believing God. The next scripture says, we go on, and it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. Now, speaking as a woman, you would never say, go sleep with this person so that we can have children through her. Gentlemen, if your wife comes to you and says this is a test, you don't want to fail. You want to say, no way, that's not God's will. We're not doing that. You know, he didn't say, if you notice, he didn't say, well, let's seek God. We need to make sure that we're in tune with what God wants us to do. God's given us this promise. I don't know how he wants to bring it about. But he didn't. It just says, and Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. So the second point is seek God for direction, because God has a plan, and it's always better than yours. God's plan is always better than yours. I had an incident at work recently, where we had a hot water heater burst, and it went flowing through the building. It flowed into our storage area, where we had a bunch of boxes that hadn't been taken out and put on the shelves like they were supposed to, and three huge boxes of toilet paper, which soaked up, you know, the bottom row of the box. It did ruin that toilet paper. But there was so much toilet paper, and my first thing was, who thought that this was a good idea to buy this much toilet paper? This is ridiculous. Well, little did I know that now we would have a toilet paper shortage because people went crazy and went and bought up all the toilet paper. But I asked, my coworkers, who bought all this toilet paper? And this one lady said, you know, that she had bought it. She said, I thought it would just be good to have extra. I said, what could possibly go wrong where we would need this much toilet paper? Do you think the toilet paper factory is going to blow up? I mean, why would we need this much toilet paper? But the other day, I went by and I said, hey, good job buying all that toilet paper because now we need it. So there are times when we lean to our own understanding and we think, this is dumb. But there's a plan. God may have a plan for that that you don't even know about, that you haven't even thought about. So Sarai, though, decided to help God in her situation. And helping God can lead to things going wrong every time. We see right now in the Middle East how things are. And it's all because of Sarai's great idea that this would work well for them. And Abram, who went along with it. So we need to know that helping God can lead to things going very wrong. Things later on down the line that we would never, ever dream of. But that they definitely can lead to things going wrong. Let's look at Naaman. Naaman was a soldier who had leprosy. He had a little servant girl who said, well, you know, there's somebody who could heal my master if he would go. So he went to Israel to see about getting healed. But he had a preconceived idea about how this healing would take place. He had in his mind how this would all come about. Scripture says that when it didn't come about his way, Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out and meet me, he said. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy, call on the name of the Lord his God, and heal me. That's not what happened, because he was told to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and he did not want to do that. He wanted some magical thing to happen, that the prophet would come out and wave his hand over him and say some words, pray to the Lord, and all of a sudden he would be healed. So he didn't like the way it was coming out, and because he was angry, he almost didn't get his healing, because he was going to leave and not even go do what the prophet had told him. But the people with him said, what have you got to lose? You might as well do what he told you. And so he did. But point 3 says, do not have preconceived ideas of how God will work his promise. We need to be open to anything, because after all, he is God. He is God and we are not. We try to help him do his stuff like Sarah did. We try to help him bring about his promises. Or we decide how he's going to do it. And when he doesn't do it, we're not happy. Have you ever prayed for your car? Has your car ever broken down? And, you know, the typical thing would be call the mechanic, get somebody to fix it. But, you know, we can pray for it and it can miraculously be healed. It's happened before. My blow dryer has been healed before. It would not work. And God has healed my blow dryer when I needed him to. So God can do anything we need him to do. He also can healings. I know there are people who have prayed for healings and they expected it to be instantaneous. It's not always. God works in his own way and he will take care of us. But we cannot let our preconceived ideas and anger get in the way of that, because that can lead to things going wrong, definitely. Then we look to Elijah. Let's talk about Elijah. Elijah had just been on this mountaintop experience where he had defeated the prophets of Baal. He had shown that his God was mighty and his God was great. He had seen God work in a mighty way. He had just, you know, wonderful things had happened. And then he killed the prophets of Baal had been killed. But it says when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you, just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling by day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. So here he is off of this great experience with the Lord. He saw the Lord move. He saw great victory. And then all of a sudden he's ready to die. He's upset. He's afraid. We have to make sure that we do not take our eyes off of the promise maker. We cannot put our eyes on the situation that's around us. And that's very appropriate for right now, because if we look at all the statistics, if we look at things around us, it's very easy to feel like we're doomed, when in reality, we're not. When in reality, we serve a living God who can take care of us and who will take care of us. So we've got to make sure that we don't take our eyes off of God and get our eyes on other things. We were on a cruise to Alaska this last year, and the big thing was looking for eagles. They were everywhere. But we were out in the ocean and looking at trees. We could see them kind of far off, and I had some binoculars, and I was looking, and I thought I saw an eagle, and I took my eyes off of it and looked somewhere else, and I'm looking for that eagle again, and finally I get zoomed in. I think, oh, I found the eagle again, so I'm telling everybody, there's an eagle right over there. So everybody's got their binoculars looking over at the eagle as well. And as we get closer and we get closer, and I'm so excited I spotted this eagle, I finally realize it's a man with a white cap on. It was not an eagle. And so everybody's like, well, I don't see the eagle. Where's the eagle? And so I just said, oh, well, it must have flown away. I didn't want to admit that, you know, like blind, and I thought it was a man, and I didn't know it until I got it next to him. But I'm sure the eagle I saw earlier did fly away. But that was really a man. So we've got to keep our eyes on the target. Like, once you see the target, you need to keep your eyes on the target. Once we are focused on the Lord, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We cannot look around and then lose sight of him and all of the things that are going on around us, because fear can lead to things going very, very wrong. So I know this is short today, but, you know, what do you expect from me, right? So conclusion, do believe God, seek God for direction, be open to however God wants to work, and do not take your eyes off of God. Do not take your eyes off of him. So those are some things you can do. Here are some things you don't want to do. Don't help God. He doesn't need your help. Don't help him by doing things your own way. Don't have preconceived ideas of how God should work in a situation. Be open to any way he wants to work things out for you. That reminds me actually of another story that I wanted to tell you. There was a year when we had every major appliance in our home died at one point or another. And I was praying, God, send the money. God, send the money to replace these things. And we were depleting our savings, replacing them. And I was wanting God to send a check in the mail or send us a washer or a dryer or whatever we needed. And Brian said, well, God's already provided because we have the money to buy the new thing. So that was not how I was looking for God to work, but that's how God chose to work. And we've got to be open to those things. We need to see it when God works, not be blinded to it. So don't have preconceived ideas of how God should work. Don't let yourself be angry when God doesn't move the way you want him to. And don't let fear direct you, especially during this time right now. Don't let fear keep you awake at night. Don't let fear overwhelm you. And you, when you start doing that, you're not letting God be God. You're not really looking at God to do things in miraculous ways, because all you can see is the fear. So I would just encourage you to keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on what he has for you. Take this time to draw near to him. And just let God be God. So let's just pray right now. I just pray for everybody out there, Lord, that you would help us, each and every one of us, to keep our focus on you. Help us to keep from trying to help you out, Lord, because you don't need our help. We'll just mess things up. So let us just open our arms and let you be God. Father, I just praise you and I thank you. for your love for us, for your protection for us, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you know the number of hairs on our head, and I thank you for that. So, Lord, help us just to seek after you during this time, draw closer to you, and rely on you to take care of our situation. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Pastor Cindy. That was terrific. It's a very good word for us today. And we're going to be coming your way every Wednesday at 11 o'clock until we can do it live with everybody. So tune in next Wednesday on Facebook Live at 11. And also, our worship service on Sunday morning is going to be on every Sunday, 9:40. So tune in for that too. And you can stay in touch and stay connected. So let's see. I guess that's about it. So anyway, thanks again for tuning in. And we'll see you Sunday, and we'll see you again next Wednesday. God bless you in the meantime.